chapter 10, and when you find your place out of respect for God's word, let's all stand. Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to look at about five verses here. Matthew 10, verse 1, and the idea is, again, Jesus loves me so. Matthew 10, verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Then look down at verse 7. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then drop down to verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, you give me wisdom. I pray that you speak to the need of every heart and encourage us this evening in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. And Jesus Christ loves us more than we could ever realize. I still can't believe that he saved me or ever even knew where my address was, to be honest with you. Why would he care? But he did. And one of the things he did is because he loves us, there are basically three things you can count on, and I'm going to share those with you. He values you greatly. We're going to show from Scripture how God really does love us. He puts a high value on us. The value you can determine on somebody is the person giving that value. And when Christ hung on the cross, he gave you and I the greatest value of all. You know, no man lays down his life for his friend, and Christ did that for me and you, people that were many, many years away from when he hung on that cross, and he did it for us. So, number one, he values you greatly. Number two, he views your ground. He knows the ground you stand on, which means he knows every step you take in life. And then his love not only values you greatly and views the ground you stand on, but his love verifies the gospel. It proves the gospel based on what Christ said. People will say, well, I don't know if the gospel is true or not, but based on what Christ did and what his love showed us, oh, it's true. My mother's love could make a decision about anything, just her loving me. I mean, that was it, the beginning and end of the story. And I want to share with you, looking at this verse, if you look in chapter 10, verse 1, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. What God does is this: he calls us unto himself. When you're saved, he calls you to be saved, and you're saved. And then he wants us to serve him. And when he called his disciples, he gave them power. He does the calling, and he provides the power. Now watch this. When he calls you, he not only provides the power you need to do everything he's asked you to do, but he provides the right people around you. He provides the right place. He provides the right game plan, and he gives you the right passion. One of the greatest gifts of God, and watch this, is to have the fire and the passion to continue living for him faithfully, no matter what you go through. And so he calls these disciples, a bunch of no-names, and he brought them unto himself, and he gave them power to do exactly what he wanted them to do. Now, in verse 7, he gave them a mission. He said, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He sent them away with power to preach the gospel. Now, when God tells you to preach the gospel, like in this verse, he didn't say, and as you go, if you feel okay, preach. Or if you're having a good day, preach. Or don't go unless if it's raining. He said, as you go, meaning he sent them out to preach the gospel. We were over here yesterday, and I had some of these flyers left in my car. And I said, Yvonne, we're just going to pass every one of them out. So we took them, and we went down the streets, and then we found some condominiums, and we just passed them all out to do that for the Lord. But to keep sharing the gospel, to keep going, to keep preaching the gospel. And that's what he did. He sent them. He called them with power. He sent them with power. And there's one purpose in life, is to win as many souls as we can before it's over. To win as many, to take as many people with you to heaven as you can. Now drop down to verse 31. He says, that phrase, fear ye not. I mean, we saw that Elijah said that. We've seen Christ say that many times. And here again, Christ says, fear ye not. It was a command. Meaning, I want you to live by faith, not fear. Faith, not fear. Now, if you want to look, I'm going to turn to Psalm 102. Share some verses with you about David walking through some tough times. Psalm 102, and we'll come back to Matthew 10. But in Psalm 102, verse 7, it says this, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. David got to a point in his life he felt like he was a little bird. And he said in verse 8 of Psalm 102, "Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me," meaning he had a bunch of people that wanted to get rid of him and eliminate him. And God said that David was like a little sparrow, and God is using that example when Christ is teaching. And David's fear had overwhelmed him. Now watch this. The reason Christ tells you and me to fear not is because he's going to take care of what's causing us to fear. Now, if I told you, Brother Norman, if we had 50 guys in here with machine guns and me and you're standing there and they're saying, "We're going to blow you away," and I said, "Brother Norman, don't be afraid," you think I'm a nut, because what am I going to do to stop those machine guns? But if I pulled off my shirt and you saw a Superman uniform in there, and it was real, and I was a real Superman, then you'd have no reason to fear. So when Christ tells you to fear not, he's greater than Superman. He means business, and he will provide everything you need and take care of everything you need. And when he tells us not to fear, he means it. Now, David in Psalm 102 was afraid, and he said, "I'm like a little sparrow sitting up here, and the enemies are coming after me." Fear can cause you and me to quit. Fear can cause you and me to sell out to the wrong crowd. Fear can cause you and me to take detours and go the wrong direction. Fear can freeze up your life. And God will tell you and me, and he's telling us that in verse 31 back over in Matthew 2. He says, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Now, a sparrow, and we're talking about how God's love values you greatly. A sparrow is about 6 inches in length. They do not migrate. They often are considered pests because they destroy grain crops and fruit crops and many growing vegetables. And God is saying to you and me that if two sparrows are sold for a farthing and one of them shall not fall to the ground, verse 29, without your father knowing that. And that's what that means. Now, out of 9,000 species of birds, God picked one little sparrow as the example. You want to know what the value of a sparrow is? I'll give it to you. Over in Leviticus chapter 14, Leviticus 14, and I'm going to show you what the Bible used a sparrow for. Chapter 14 in Leviticus. Let's see if that's better. Chapter 14. Watch this. In Leviticus 14, verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive." Now, if you research that, they were probably two little sparrows. Two birds alive. In verse 5, "And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it in the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. So what God used for the lepers, because they were poor people typically, is he used two little old birds, two sparrows. And one sparrow would be killed. The other sparrow would be let go with the blood on it, showing that he'd paid the price. You remember the scapegoat example where Christ, they would kill one goat, but they let the other goat go into the wilderness, meaning God was separating your sins from you as far as from the east as from the west. And God here, when they let that little sparrow go, they're separating your uncleanness, your sins, and everything from God, and the one that dies pays the price. And God is saying, you are of more value than two little old sparrows. Two little old sparrows used to cleanse the leper and to set him free. One killed, one set free. And God says, I value you greatly. I value more than that. And looking back at Matthew, he says in verse 29, he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father?" And what he's saying is this: a farthing is a penny or 1 cent. It's almost worthless. And he said, two sparrows are sold for a little old penny. He says, but let me show you what I mean. He says, one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. He says, look, a little old sparrow that's worth absolutely nothing, nothing of value. And we've seen what they were used for. He says, not a single one falls out of the sky without the Heavenly Father knowing where that bird hits. That's how much He loves you. Now, if God Almighty knows when a sparrow dies and falls out of the ground, He knows when that sparrow is hatched. He knows when that sparrow takes his first flight. He knows when that sparrow has good days and bad days. He knows every step along the way. And if God records His knowledge of the sparrow, He's telling you, this is how much I love you. I keep up with you in those great details. Now, a lot of times, if you're like me and you're having a rough day at the office, you're thinking, who cares? Does anybody know? God knows. If you think I've got situations I'm going through that I wish I had somebody to help me, you've got God to help you, to pray to Him and ask Him for guidance and direction. And then he says, I like verse 30, he says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, he has a smaller number to keep up with me now, Brother Moses, than he used to. But he knows every hair on my head. And there's not a single time, if you could ask God today, say, hey, God, how many hairs does Brother Ray have on his head today? God would not be caught surprised at all by a few having fallen out last night. He wouldn't be caught surprised. He can tell you the exact number on my head. He can tell you the exact number on your head, because that's the kind of God He is. And when He calls us to do something, He calls you not because He wants to just drive you nuts, but He calls you because He loves you and He values you. It is a great honor. In my family, I can tell you this. I knew which of my three girls would get certain projects done, and I knew which of the three you couldn't depend on, Lydia. And so who do you think I go to? If I need something done and I know which one's going to do it, who do I go to? I just go to that one person. And when Jacob would always, you know, the Bible says that Jacob loved Joseph more than his other brother. And what that means is he went to Joseph because he could depend on him. Joseph was his go-to person. And in every family, we all have go-to people. You know, if you ask them to do something, you know it's going to get done. You don't have to check behind them. And so here, when God Almighty called these disciples, they were His go-to people. When God called